Blog Talk Radio.
Use all of your courage in Jesus to overcome. Believe there is no circumstance that can defeat you in your purpose to accomplish anything in your life. You got to believe it though, brother.
Yeah.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You got to believe. Come on.
I walk in authority, and I've been
The rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Shalom, shalom, saints. Bless you all. Would you, please give me a sound check tonight? Please give me a sound check. Let me know how I'm coming in. I'm using this other thing for the show tonight. I don't know how I'm... Hopefully I'm coming in good. Hopefully you can hear me well. Hallelujah. Give me a sound check, please. Okay. One being the worst, 10 being the best. Thank you, Brother Josh. This is Iona. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this is the brother segment, and I'm your host, Deacon Bell. And tonight I'm going to have with me Elder Donnie. I'm going to bring him up here in just a second. But I do thank you all for being up, for tuning in tonight. For those of you listening tonight and those that will be listening later, we do greet you all and welcome to the show. Hallelujah. All right, Elder Donnie, we'll bring you on. Let me figure out how to do this. Let me see. Shalom, Elder Donnie. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. I can hear you loud and clear. Hallelujah. How I'm coming in, Deacon?
You coming in well, Elder? Hallelujah. I can hear you loud and clear. I'm going to turn you up a little bit on my thing here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, praise y'all, saints. Yeah, Elder, yeah, you're coming in loud and clear. That's good. Hallelujah. All right. Well, Elder, bless you. Welcome to the show, sir. Thank you. Thank you for making time to come on with me tonight.
Hallelujah. It's a pleasure and an honor, man. I thank you so much, man. You know, it's just a joy, especially in this day and hour, man. All that's going on, you know, just to be amongst the living. Hallelujah, and Yah's people. So I'm just grateful, man. Thank you for having me and inviting me on here. Bless all of you, Israel, all of you who decided to join us this evening. Hallelujah. Once again, it's the Elder Donnie. And I say bless you all. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Tell what, Elder, you know, we want to talk about servitude and persecution and everything. You know, what we talked about, you know, briefly, what we're going to talk about tonight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, thanks. We and Elder, we hadn't really shared any notes with each other
either. Right.
I hope.
But that's okay. That's all right.
Oh, yeah, that's all good, Elder. That's all good. But I do want to start with Deuteronomy chapter 28. You know, because, you know, we all know who we are. You know, we're the people of the book. You know, of course, we know we're in captivity in this, over here in the American captivity, American-European captivity. And, but of course, while we're in captivity, we do need to make sure we understand why we're in captivity. You know, because the Most High gave us His laws, and of course, in the Hebrew community, like I say that, most of us Hebrews, us Israelites, you know, especially like I say with the black folk, you know, they want to get mad. I think Michael Israel did a video and he's talking about getting mad at the whooping stick. You know, of course, you know, everybody want to, you know, a lot of Hebrews want to hate on the white man. But, you know, the white man did his job. Our fathers got us over here in this condition because they rebelled against the Most High and sin. And so while we're over in this captivity, we can't get mad at the belt. We need to just make sure we got repentance in our heart to get right with the Most High. You know, to get this restoration of our nation back. What you say to that,
yo? Right on. Spot on, Deacon. No sense in trying to spill milk. You know, we often admonish that we need to accept the blessings and the curses. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, a lot of times we want to look down at our ancestors and things that they did, but all we got to do is look at our own selves, look at, you know, where we are. Don't think that we're so far removed from that mindset and that behavior. You understand what I mean? Because, listen, when they came up out of Egypt, you got to look at that mindset that they had. They were so full of the world's good, you know what I mean? All that Egypt had to offer at that time. And it was a process, really. The father was saying, he said, listen, I'm gonna tempt y'all. I'm gonna prove y'all to see whether or not y'all going to obey me. You know what I mean? And it's always been a fight for our minds, you know what I mean? And as far as who you going to serve. So, nah, we can't look back at them and think that, nah, they messed it up for us and we in a predicament that we in. No. You got to own up to it. And you want to accept all the great things y'all said and all the blessings and things like that. But how about acknowledging all of the stuff that our people went through? Not, you know, we acknowledge it because it happened. We can't take it back. But let's move forward. You understand what I mean? And not make the same mistakes. So, nah, man, we really got to we got so much that history and so much that's been put before us that we gotta do, it's up to us, charges on us to do better, man. And I honestly, when I was thinking about it just a little while ago, I was thinking about the mercy that y'all had upon our ancients, right? I don't believe that we afforded that same amount of grace in it. You know what I'm saying? Because he dealt with them, I mean, over and over and over again. I think we got to get it right. You understand what I mean, Deacon?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, the pastor said it like this in the past. You know, so they were the mercy for us is that we get to see how they were, how they lived, because they were written about. So we're not being written about per se. Like, you know, as far as having the book, but they're walking out and living it. And so we got the example. It's kind of like an open book test for us. So there's no reason why we should fail. If I can say that, I mean, we got an open book test, so when we get out in the wilderness, in our trials and temptations and things like that, testings, we shouldn't fail because we got an open book test.
Right.
you know what I'm saying now? I mean,
yeah, I get
it. So tell you the truth, I think what Mother Stalin said this years ago, as far as, you know, saints don't make it in, they don't have an excuse. We got everything. Right. We got all we need as far as the book, the word, the spirit. As long as we yield and obey in the Most High, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to make it into the kingdom.
That's right.
However, as long as we stay obedient, though, it's all that word if you obey.
That's right. If you obey, that's right. Hey, Deacon, listen, I want to, this is good because I actually want to play something at the end, and I played this before on a few of the broadcasts that I've done personally before in the past, but I think it'll tie in to everything that, you know, we have just talked about and some things we might get into potentially. And it's some audio clips of Pastor Dial from years ago, and I'll play that later on at the end, but I think it'll go good with what we're talking about now, man, and to tie it all in, because you're right, man, you know, so we don't have any excuses, man, whatsoever.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so let me read these. I'm gonna just read the blessings. Did everybody think we get time? Go back and read through the curses and meditate on that. Well, meditate on all of it, but and see what the curses are in your life, and strive to repent and get these curses broken off of you. You know, because we got the curses of national as a nation, but then also individually as well too. But let me read here. You post in the chat, Brother Josh, Deuteronomy chapter 28, I think verses 1 through 14. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh the Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that Yahweh the Elohim will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Yahweh shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Yahweh shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which Yahweh Elohim giveth thee. Yahweh shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahweh thy Elohim and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see thee, that thou art called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of thee. And Yahweh shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which Yahweh sware to thy fathers to give thee. And Yahweh shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain upon the land in this season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And Yahweh shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of Yahweh thy Elohim, which I command thee this day to serve and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other mighty ones to serve them. Hallelujah. And so those are the conditions the Most High set before us, as far as obedience. You know, part of the contract. Or the fine print, you start reading it, you know, the contract with the Ten Commandments. But then you got all that other writing you need to start reading, the fine print. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's something I saw in there. Hold on, give me 1 second. If you got something to say, go ahead and say it. Let me go back to this verse while I'm looking real quick.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was actually just reading this just the other day as Shabbat came in, and I had the boys, I had them sitting down, I read this to them, you know, just about, you know, how Yah said he would bless us. Because I was reading this that morning, on 6 day morning, and I was literally in tears, man. I just took my time with it and just meditating on this. And I said, let me share this with the boys, man, and my daughter, Adassa, and before I put them to bed. And, you know, just showing them, like, you know, Yah promises all of these things. I like what it says, you know, verse 9, and Yahweh shall establish you and holy people. So we're going to set apart people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahweh, the Elohim. So it's all predicated upon us keeping the commandments, being obedient, right? And to walk in his ways. And then, and look at the next part, it's 10, and it says, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called. Hallelujah. So all of the people of the earth are supposed to take note, and they're supposed to see. Man, there's something different about them. Definitely, you know. Yah is with them. God is with them, you know. Glory to God. I don't want you to forget to start, but go ahead. I just wanted to.
You left the door wide open for me. You went right to it. You didn't read the last part of verse 10. That's part that caught my eye. And they shall be afraid of thee. That part with the nations, they're afraid of us. You know, because they say, like, who are these people? Why they got these strange customs? Why are they women, you know, are submissive, obedient? You know, they wear their head covers, you know, and they listen to what their husbands do. Some women, I ain't gonna say all women in Israel. And sisters, y'all need to step up on that too. You know, and men, you need to learn how to lead better as well too. You know, all of us, you know, being a husband, hey, it's one thing to tell your wife to go get you some coffee, but can you lead worth a damn? Can't she trust your leadership? But anyway, let me go back to what I'm getting to. And the nation shall be afraid of thee. And you look at what happened with Kanye. What's his name? Kyrie Irving. You know, they don't want the Israelites coming together and waking up. You know, because if you go back to, what is it, Psalms 83. Let's go there. We'll deal with the nation's fear here. Psalms 83, Brother Josh, you'll post that in the, let me get there, in the chat. We'll start at verse 2. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom, the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarenes, Gebal, and Ammon, Amalek, the Philistines, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher is also joined with them. They have hoped the children of Lot, Salah. But you know, now these nations, you know, they consult together. Why? Because they want us to keep, they don't want us to be the head anymore. They want us to be the tail. And of course, the reason why we became the tail, you know, is because of all the people's disobedience. But even at that, even now, in this current captivity, when you know, when Kyrie Irving tried to rise up, Kanye, boom, they saw that all that control they have, through, you know, through their consulting together, you know, and working together, they make, you know, because like with the synagogue of Satan out there controlling all the media and everything, but took away what Kanye was a billionaire, and now he don't have as much money as he had, and I don't know if Kyrie Irving has really suffered much that way. I guess since they want him to apologize, but. Of course, he had to pay that what? That $500,000 to the who was it?
Yeah.
ADL, whatever. What was it?
I'm not sure who it was. I saw that list too. It was a whole list of things he had to comply with. You know, yeah. But I'm not sure. Who...
But see, that's bringing that fear out of them, because they don't want Israel to rise up. You know, I mean, cause first of all, they don't want natural Israel to come to rise up. Because that'll be something they got to deal with. But also, mainly, they really don't want spiritual Israel to come together.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because it's all against the war on the sea, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Man, I was listening to, who was it, Charles Barkley. It was just a clip from him and, Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah, from Shaq. And it was the way they said it, man. It was like, this idiot, we got to sit here and deal with this and talk about this with this idiot. And it was almost as if, all right, he done let the cat out of the bag. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he done traded on us. You know what I mean? And I could see the sentiment in the mid. But it's all hypocrisy across the whole board, man. But, yeah, man, it's foolishness. But you hit on a word. You said the synagogue. You said the synagogue of Satan, and that's who they are. And I tell you, these people... It's something else, man. It's like America, you know what I mean? And the whole sentiment of it all, how they protect these people, man, these fake wannabes. And they it's almost like America is like the hitman for these people. You can't say anything against them. Or you can't, man, get out of here with that foolishness, you know what I mean? But I hear what you're saying, though, Deacon. They do not want the real Israel to wake up. But you got to think, look, I was thinking about this also, how, you know, just Kyrie Irving posting that post, and the amount of people that's whether they nosy, they just want to know what's going on. They don't even quite know what they're getting themselves into or what the whole fuss is about. Because people still asking, well, what is it? Because they're not really saying what it is. You know, what he posts, and so you think about the people that's going to stumble across this information, is going to pretty much, you know, change their whole life. They don't even understand how groundbreaking this stuff is. You know what I mean? So it's huge, I believe, what's going on. And even the fact that it is, the truth is being let out in such a great magnitude. It's really huge. It's an interesting time that we're living in. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, sir, yo. Yes, sir. I mean, because it's feeding into their fear as far as, well, to the establishment's fear of, you know, of people getting woke up. But, yeah, now I believe many are going to go and seek out more truth because, you know, cause like you say, they ain't telling them what it is. So, you know, of course, people are nosy, curious, and they're going to go seek it out, I believe, too. And
right.
And then that's good for the cause of the Most High because, you know, he'll get more of his people waking up, and some will seek out ways to make sure they're obedient to the Father's word, you know. And, Elder Kabir did a couple of videos today, and he brought up, you know, like you look at Kabir, and I mean, well, you know what Kabir went through when he came this way, but he talked about how Brett Favre stole all that money from people in Mississippi and didn't really suffer enough. He had to apologize. He had to get $2 million to the NAACP. You know, not that they really do anything for black people anyway, but. you know, so you know. But anyway, yeah. I mean, they ain't gonna mind Al Sharpton paying any type of you know, any trespass offers of that type. But anyway, man, go ahead, Al.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna get back to the text he was in Psalms 83. I just think when you read that in verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee. Isn't that something? How even then, you know, and even now, how the nations, they can come together. They can come together to shut Israel down. They can come together in one accord, right? And here we are buckling and fighting and all this other stuff, warring amongst ourselves. But hallelujah. Go ahead. I didn't want to get your thought there.
That's part of most of it. But you know, one thing too, you know, when you look at us, far as them consulting together, once they sit against us, we being Confederate, it's sad, but we work with them though. You know, how many Israelites go out on the way to help make sure that verse 4, you know, help to make sure we stay from being a nation. You know, the name of Israel can no longer be remembered. You know, we help foster the damage. Or Pastor Corey said something in his one of his messages. I think it was on his the Precious Manifest, where we help, you know, further the affliction. You know, and our own people are helping to further the affliction. You know, well, you know, because like it's like this. You know, people that go out from us, you know, with an Antichrist spirit. You know, what's the word say? They went out from us because they were not of us. You know,
right?
And,
that's right.
And you know,
right.
I said, wait a minute. You know, you're a covenant breath. You were in covenant with us. You know, I'm, you know, like people testimonies. Yeah, Pastor Donald's the man. I'm gonna follow Pastor Donald to the day I die. Next week, you mad? You gone?
You know, that's right.
Pastor Donald hit your favorite doctrine, told you it was false, and you left. You know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, what, all the causes. Elder Beckham rebuked you. Elder Donnie said something to you. Elder Rufus, you know, didn't give you a dollar when just because you wanted it. I mean, you name people got all their many causes. You know, and it's an excuse to stay weak. I'm trying to make the nation weak too. Our people weak.
That's right.
But
that's right. Glory to the King. Ain't it ironic though? What'd you say?
I don't want to forget the one thing too. Going back to Shaq and Charles Barkley, you know, I think I saw something on Facebook. They posted that Shaq showed the Hebrews and Negroes thing in his movie theater. And when he called Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't want to forget the hypocrisy. All right, we can go on now. Hallelujah. I tell you what, you know, if we look at our servitude to the Most High, you know, for our people. I mean, our people suffered a lot. You know, the pastor hit on a lot of things, like the word of your testimony, that preaching he did on Shabbat, that YouTube video he did. You know, and of course, your testimony. What was the other thing he did before on Blog Talk? What was it conviction and conviction and dang it.
I saw it yesterday, man. I was just looking at it.
Yeah, conviction was another word. Conviction and you convicted by something, and the other thing is preference and conviction.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, you know, some folk, they think they want to serve the Most High. They have a preference, hope to serve Yah. But their conviction really ain't there when they're put to the test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when your life get challenged, you know, if we look at go to Hebrews chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
Go over there. You know, the great faith chapter. You know, everybody want to serve Yah, and you know it's easy when there's no pressure on you. But, you know, you look at what Peter said to Jesus, hey, don't all men forsake you. I'll never forsake you. You know, and Peter, you know, when they saw Jesus getting, you know, what happened to Jesus, oh, I'm gone. You know, I'm on the dime 3 times. You know, but he made up for it later on after, he, you know, over the next chapter, what was it, 5 when he was preaching. But you know, he got scared and ran away and forsook him. And all the disciples did, too. You know, But you know, you know how much our life means to us. But it's a matter of, do we really believe Yah? You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, what was I going here?
Hebrews chapter 11.
Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah, let me see. Okay. Let me get here. All right, I'll start at verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11, Brother Josh, start at verse 24. Now, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yah than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And of course, you know, we got a lot of people right now choosing to enjoy the pleasures of sin and to suffer affliction with the people of Yah now. You know, when they take fellowship and walk away and go do their own things now.
Mm-hmm.
But and esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. But by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And of course, you know, we talk about taking the Passover then. And by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. I'm going to skip down a little more. Hold on here. And others had, verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. And, you know, now who want to sign up for that in their right mind? To serve Yeshua, to serve Jesus. And if you want to be like Kyrie Irving right now, going through cruel mockings, scourgings, you know, Kanye. Now, they ain't get put in prison yet. But, you know, but many, you know, you're going to, like Pastor talking about, people recant. That they had that preference, not really conviction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going back now. I'm going back now because I lost too much money, or I don't want to lose any money, or just whatever reason they can come up with. You know.
They love the pleasure of life, man. They love it. They love it. The pleasures of sin. Without shit.
Come on. Well, you know,
what is a man willing to give in exchange for his soul?
Come on, y'all. That's it. Well, in exchange for his soul? Come on. $10 million, $40 million, $100 million. How mm-hmm. much? Now, some of us, I'm going to pass dollars to this years ago. And some of you just take a pair of Jordans or a cheeseburger. They don't take all that, man. But for some of us, that'll be a soul. Satan would be insulted off in some Hebrews, some saints, $1 million. For what? I can get this for $20. I don't need $1 million. Not even $20. I just let them get offended. I help them get offended, not God. Full of fear, full of doubt, full of unbelief. So Satan ain't getting everybody money. We just throw that out there, you know. We just tempt you to your affections and lust.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Not to cut you off, Deacon, but I'm sitting there thinking,
yeah.
That's true. No, it's true. Yeah, folks sell their soul for so cheap. You know, I'll be looking at, and it's one sister. She used to be with the ministry, man. And I know she used to be posting, you know, different things. And I know at one time her gripe and her complaint, her offense was, you know, she wasn't getting the things adequate enough that she needed, her and her children. And I see, you know, they on social media posting all of the things that they can get, the places they can go, you know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at his verse talking about they enjoy the pleasures of sin. But look here, it's only for a season, man, you know, but folks are willing to sell out. But you know what I mean? And they think they're having it their way, you know what I'm saying? They think it's their comfort and the things. It's only a trick and a trick of the devil, you know what I mean? So it don't take much at all, so. Yeah, don't take
yes,
drugs. You're right. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Hey, look, I don't give you the ability to post on Facebook and start a GoFundMe. He got you. You know, you get away from the pressure of the bank. You know,
yeah.
Or he increase your welfare benefits a little bit. You know, you can go do something. Do what you want to do. You know, pretty much gives you your will. The one man giving the stage for a soul, his will, his way, her way.
Yeah.
Like that song, okay. I did it my way.
My way. That's right, have it your way, right away.
Yep, right out the way. You know, let me this verse here, verse 37. And they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted. And thanks, y'all, going further in this broadcast, remember the word tempted. Y'all keep that in your mind. Was slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted in torment, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Y'all having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I mean, these are all the martyrs that went before us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. You know, I don't know what I was talking to you about. We're talking about what was it? When I was talking about reading in Fourth Maccabees.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I want to go over there. But you had something to say. Go ahead before we get into that.
No, I'm actually waiting to visit that one. No, you're good. Yep. I don't have anything.
All right. Let me see where I want to go first. Okay, you know what? Let's go to 1 Maccabees chapter 1. I'm 4 Maccabees chapter 1. Okay, well, I'm trying not to say that wrong. Let's bless all y'all in the chat room here. Brother Willis, Sister Ziona, Three Carpenters. I can't say that name, Chad something. Anyway, bless you all. And those of you that are listening by way of phone and in the other ways on the internet, we can listen without showing up in the chat. Bless you all and welcome to the show. Hope you all are being edified while you're listening. All right, Elder.
I want to, Deacon, real quick. Hold your train of thought, but I did want to say this, though, real quick. Bless all of y'all that are listening by whichever way you are listening. I know a lot of saints do listen by phone, so may not be able to see them in the chat. So bless everybody out there. I know I listen by phone. But I just wanted to say this, too. That was a really good message on yesterday by Teacher Shane.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Not
come on.
that was a really good word, man. And I love the way, and not only Teacher Shane, but Shepherd, and a lot of teachings that we get and we hear is really pushing us, it's like a shift to really focus on the spiritual, you know, aspect of things rather than the natural, because we put a lot of focus on what we can see, touch, feel, and see. And the word tells us about that, how temporal it is. But we need to really, really focus on spiritual, feeding ourselves and getting full with that word, hiding that word in our heart, you know what I mean, so we don't sin against y'all. And I mean, that was a really good word, man. Teacher Shane brought out, hit on some really good points. And I was just like, whoa. His teacher really went there. So I'm thankful for him and everything he's doing, staying faithful all of these years, you know. So I just wanted to put that out there. I forgot. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I meant to say something, too. It slipped my mind. But yes, sir. Hallelujah. Thank y'all. You know, if I had Teacher Shane come with that timely word for us. Hallelujah. Bless you, Pastor.
Yeah.
I saw your vehicle when I was driving up. So welcome back home, sir. Glad the Most High brought you back home to us. You're in the household safely back home. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we definitely do need to be focused on the spirit. Now, that's the thing, too, because a lot of times, you know, the spiritual is ignored because everybody wants to just live after the flesh, you know, dealing with all the carnal. And what's the word say? If you live after the flesh, you're going to die.
That's right.
So if you make that choice, then you're going to reap what you sow. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right, I think. Yes. Go ahead. You have something else to say?
No. I was disagreeing with you. Go ahead. I was agreeing.
Yes, sir. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to Fourth Maccabees, chapter 1. I'm gonna tell y'all first. read 4th Maccabees. I'm serious. I couldn't stop. When I got in here and started reading that, I mean, I started in number 3. Since I had the podcast, I hadn't read 3rd and 4th Maccabees that much. You know, I remember reading some things in it, but it didn't click. But the other day, the reason why I want to bring it up on this broadcast, because the other day when I was reading it, stuff just was standing out to me. Of course, we can't cover it all. We need 4 days to get or 2 months, all I know. But it's rich in there, a lot of stuff in there. And so let me see. I'm going to read for a little bit here. And then we're going to end up going to, so what else? You get, go to 4th Maccabees chapter 5. Hey, I'm going to have you read from there. I'm going to set the tone here with chapter 1 here. And then we're just going to have to, we'll bounce around from after that. There's so much to read. I like to read it all, but for the sake of time, you know how it is. But anyway. All right. Verse 1. As I am going to demonstrate a most philosophical proposition, namely that religious reasoning is absolute master of the passions, I would willingly advise you to give the utmost heed to philosophy, for reason is necessary to everyone as a step to science, and more especially does it embrace and the praise of prudence, the highest virtue. If then reasoning appears to hold the mastery over the passions which stand in the way of temperance, such as gluttony and lust, It surely also and manifestly has the rule over the affections which are contrary to justice, such as malice, and of those which are hindrances to manliness, as wrath and pain and fear. How then is it, perhaps some may say, that reasoning, if it rule the affections, is not also master of forgetfulness and ignorance? They attempt a ridiculous argument. For reasoning does not rule over its own affections, but over such as are contrary to justice and manliness and temperance and prudence, and yet over these so as to withstand without destroying them. I might prove to you, from many other considerations, that religious reasoning is sole master of passions. Let me stop for a second. Now, thanks. We're listening to this. Now, this man's coming from the context that he saw the woman with her, the Hebrew woman with her 7 sons getting killed, being martyred, and everything that happened to them, and also Eleazar, the old elder man that was killed. So there's a context to why he's speaking this way. We'll get to some of it here, but I just want to make sure I throw it out there so that way you're not lost listening to this, because he's speaking in such a way. But you just keep stay tuned. I might prove to you from many other considerations that religious reasoning is sole master of the passions, but I shall prove it with the greatest force for the fortitude of Eleazar and 7 brethren and their mother, who suffered death in defiance of virtue. For all these contending pains, even unto death, by this contempt demonstrated that reasoning has command over the passions. For their virtues, then it is right that I should commend those men who died with their mother at this time in behalf of resuscitude, and for their honors, I may count them happy. For they winning admiration not only for men in general, but even for their persecutors, for their manliness and endurance, became the means of destruction of the tyranny against their nation, having conquered the tyrant by their endurance, so that by them their country was purified. But we may now at once enter upon the question, having commenced it, as it is wont, with laying down the doctrine, and so proceed to the account of these persons, giving glory to the all-wise God. Don't forget that, giving glory to the all-wise God. You know, because remember, they were getting tortured. They're praising Yah and like fast and talking shit. And let us determine then what is reasoning and what passion, and how many forms of passions, and whether reasonings bear sway over all of these. Reasoning is then intellect accompanied by a life of necessitude, putting foremost the consideration of wisdom. Or restitute, that word is hard to say. And wisdom is a knowledge of divine and human things and of their causes. And this is contained in the education of the law, by means of which we learn divine things reverently and human things profitably. And the forms of wisdom are prudence and justice, manliness and temperance. The leading one of these is prudence, by whose means indeed it is that reasoning bears rule over the passions. Of the passions, pleasure and pain are the two most comprehensive, and they also by nature refer to the soul. And there are many attendant affections surrounding pleasure and pain. Before pleasure is lust, and after pleasure, joy. And before pain is fear, and after pain is sorrow. Wrath is an affection common to pleasure and pain, if anyone will pay attention when it comes upon him. And there exists in pleasure a malicious disposition, which is the most multiform of all the affections. And in the soul, it is arrogance and love of money and vaingloriness and contention and faithlessness and an evil eye. In the body, it is greediness, gormandizing, and solitary gluttony. As pleasure and pain are, therefore, two growths of the body and the soul, so there are many offshoots of these passions. And reasoning, the universal husbandman, purging and pruning these severally and binding round and watering, transplanting in every way improves the materials of the morals and affections. For reasoning is the leader of the virtues, but it is the sole ruler of the passions. Observe then first, through the very things which stand in the way of temperance, that reasoning is absolute ruler of the passions. Now temperance consists of a command over the lust, but of the lust some belong to the soul, others to the body. And over each of these classes, the reasoning appears to bear sway. And I'm going to stop there. Thanks for reading the rest of that chapter. But let's go ahead and start with chapter 5, Elder Diamond. I mean, that gives you an understanding of what's working inside your body, your reasonings, your affections. You know, let me go back there for a minute. You know, all that, the reasonings, the it talks about temperance in there. So everything, in other words, everything is controlled in your mind. You know, if people get, let's go to chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me tell you what, hold on, let me look at it real quick. Okay, go ahead, start reading chapter 5, please, Bill.
All right, here we go. All right. Fort Maccabees, chapter 5. And it says, the tyrant Antiochus, therefore, sitting in public state with his assessors upon a certain lofty place, with his armed troops standing in a circle around him, commanded his spear-bearers to seize every one of the Avarim of the Hebrews and to compel them to taste swine's flesh and things offered to idols. And should any of them be unwilling to eat the accursed food, they were to be tortured on the wheel and so killed. And when many had been seized, a foremost man of the assembly, a Hebrew, by name Eleazar, a priest by family, by profession a lawyer, and advanced in years, and for this reason new to many of the king's followers, was brought near to him. And Antiochus, seeing him, said, I would counsel you, old man, before your tortures begin, to taste the swine's flesh and save your life.
Read that again,
Verse 5.
Read that again.
I would counsel you. And I'll start at 4. And Antiochus, seeing him, said, I would counsel you, old man, before your tortures begin, to taste the swine's flesh and save your life. For I feel respect for your age and gray head, which since you have had so long, you appear to me to be no philosopher in retaining the superstition of the Yehudim. Verse 6.
You ain't trying to talk about all of it, eh?
Yeah. Try to talk about it. Okay, go for it.
I mean, now how many of us right there would have started to recant and reconsider? Well, hey, you know, look, I'm going to bring out all these instruments that I'm going to hurt you with, you know, parading all the stuff out. But now, I counsel you, go ahead and taste the flesh, and that way you don't got to suffer now. And you'll live.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they want to give everybody the devil want to give you the option to deny Jesus, you know, to deny the way.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, man, just save your life. It'll all be good. Just, you know, give up your faith, and we'll let you go. Go ahead, El, keep reading.
And verse 6 says, for wherefore, since nature has conferred upon you the most excellent flesh of this animal, do you loathe it? Question. It seems senseless not to enjoy what is pleasant, yet not disgraceful. And from notions of sinfulness to reject the boons of nature. And you will be acting, I think, still more senselessly if you follow vain conceits about the truth. And you will, moreover, be despising me to your own punishment. Will you not awake from your trifling philosophy and give up the folly of your notions and regaining understanding worthy of your age? Search into the truth of an expedient course, and reverencing my kindly admonition, have pity upon your own years. For bear in mind that if there be any power which watches over this faith of yours, it will pardon you for all transgressions of the Torah, which you commit through compulsion. While the tyrant incited him in this manner to the eating of swine's flesh, which is against the Torah, Eleazar begged permission to speak. Verse 14 says, and having received power to speak, he began thus to deliver himself. We, O Antiochus, who are persuaded that we live under a divine Torah, consider no compulsion to be so forcible as obedience to that Torah. Wherefore, we consider that we ought not in any point to transgress the Torah. And indeed, were our Torah, as you suppose, not truly divine, and if we wrongly think it divine, we should have no right, even in that case, to destroy our sense of the faith. Think not eating the unclean thing a trifling offense. For transgression of the Torah of the law, whether it in small or great matter, is of equal moment. For in either case, the Torah is equally slighted. But you deride our philosophy as though we live irrationally in it. Yet it instructs us in temperance so that we are superior to all pleasures and lusts. And it exercises us in manliness so that we cheerfully undergo every grievance. And it instructs us in justice so that in all our dealings we render what is due. And it teaches us piety so that we worship the one only Elohim becomingly. Verse 24 says, wherefore it is that we eat not the unclean. For believing that the Torah was established by Elohim, we are convinced that the creator of the world, in giving this Torah, this law, sympathizes with our nature. Those things which are convenient to our souls, he has directed us to eat. But those which are repugnant to them, he has interdicted. But tyrant-like, you not only force us to break the Torah, but also to eat, that you may ridicule us as we thus profanely eat. But you shall not have this cause of laughter against me, nor will I transgress the sacred oaths of my forefathers to guard the Torah. No, not if you pluck out my eyes and consume my entrails. I am not so old and void of manliness, but that my rational powers are youthful in defense of my faith. Now then, prepare your will and kindle a fiercer flame. I will not so compassionate my old age as on my account to break the Torah of my country. I will not belie you, O law, my instructor, or forsake you, O beloved temperance. I will not put you to shame, O philosopher, reason, or deny you, O honored priesthood and science of the law. Mouth, you shall not pollute my old age, nor the full stature of a perfect life. My fathers shall receive me pure, not having quelled before your compulsion, though unto death. For over the wicked you shall tyrannize, but you shall not lord it over my thoughts about the faith, either by your arguments or your deeds.
Sounds like this old man wasn't giving up, wasn't bending, was?
Man, not at all. And listen, see, so I think it's so interesting because I see how the king was trying to, you know, hit him with flattery and all of these things.
Come on.
You know, talking about his old age and his gray hair and all of these things. And then he wanted to try to downplay the law, you know what I mean? And, you know, you, it's not a bad thing if you go ahead and do that, this thing which is put before you that's so pleasant and all of it. Man, it's something else, boy.
Shoot. You know, the problem says eat, drink, says he. The problem says eat, drink, says he, but his heart's not with you. And
right.
I can't. You can't just, you know, trying to set up Eleazar up to transgress the law, make you, like you said, make it light. Oh, man, come on. You can be all right. And the Most High, he'll forgive you. He'll pardon your transgression of that. Yeah, it's not more. I mean, you know, but the devil's trying to give him out. Just make that denial. Come on, man. Come on. We got you. You know, he's a good salesman in that. I want to go back. Let's go back up to verse 31. I mean, there's a lot. I mean,
okay.
Shoot. We can stay here for a while, too.
I'm telling you.
This is loaded, man. Verse 32. Oh, wait a minute. Let me find the verse I was looking at. Well, I like what verse 36. I like what the man said, too. He spread his mouth. Thou shalt not pollute my old age. Daughter full stature of a perfect life. So he said, I ain't gonna let my mouth partake in something that's gonna pollute my old age. You know, that's why if he took it, hey, well, wait a minute, how's that gonna pollute you? Well, it's unclean. That's not gonna get polluted.
Exactly.
If you eat those unclean stuff naturally, yeah, that's because you're unclean spiritually.
That's right.
As well too. Hold on a second. Verse 31. No, he says, I'm not so old and void of manliness, but that my rational powers are youthful in defense of my religion or of the way, the faith. You know, he says, I ain't so old. Did you think you can just come walk up in here and think you're going to just talk to me any kind of way, compel me to do something, you know, that you can have power over me. I'm still a man, damn it, what he's saying. But that my rational powers are youthful in defense of the way, or religion, says here. But youthful in defense. In other words, I ain't a novice in this either. You know, I'm not naive. I ain't dumb. You ain't pulling the wool over my eyes with the things you're saying to me. You know,
right.
So I like how he rolls up. You know, had that courage of faith, that boldness. You know, we stand in the face of the enemy. Look, like the Hebrew boys. Hey, heat the fire up seven times hotter. You know, whatever. But we ain't gonna bow. You know, when he said that to Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm. I don't want you to forget the thought, Deacon. But I'm looking at it though. I'm checking him out though. You know, Eleazar, this older man, and I'm looking at the amount of honor that he has. Number one for the Most High, and then in the law, the utmost respect and keeping it. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I think this is something. And then verse 36 says, "My father shall receive me pure." You know what I mean?
Wow.
I say no. I'm not about to be defiled in no way, shape, or form. I have something I want to read real quick, and it's let me see, Deacon. Okay. All right, and this comes from let me make sure I got it right here. Oh, okay, I'm in the wrong. Oh, sorry. Let me do this real quick. And I just thought this went hand in hand with this because, you know, this man, it said that he was a priest, right? It said that
yes,
early
sir.
On, it told you who he was, right? He was a priest. I'm looking at in Malachi, just the first chapter here, and it asks the question here. And it says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps going on. It goes on, but it was talking about the priests at the time. The priests, you know, they despised the name of Yah, you know, with pollutions of bread upon the altars and things like that. And I'm looking back at this man here. He's a priest as well, but he refused, you know, to pollute himself, not only himself, but his name, his honor, and his people. He kept referring back to that, you know. And I like that the fact that he even said that, you know, that my Father shall receive me pure. And if in this same thing here in Malachi 1, I'm going to find it real quick. It says, let me see where it is.
All right, okay.
Man, because it was good. Because it was the Father. He was saying something. Jesus, he was saying something just like that. Let's see. Here it is. This is verse 11. It says, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen," said Yahweh of hosts. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Man, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. Shoot. I mean, that's what we want. We want to be pure for the Most High.
Right.
So,
that's right.
Coming from within defilement, and that's in this time that we're in with iniquity abounding, with the love of many waxing cold, you know, it does us well to root out everything in us that is unclean, that is impure, that is unholy, that can take us away from the Most High, from the obedience to the righteousness. I mean, you know, we need to be, like, we're just striving in the end. You can't, you ain't gonna be striving in the end if you want to remain impure, unholy, you know. Unclean and making excuses for the flesh, and his old man didn't.
That's right.
You know,
that's exactly.
And he even said, "And don't even spare for my old age." You know,
that's right.
I mean, laying it down, which is good, but you know, but also too, pointing out, you know, how you mentioned about reasoning in there. Hold on. Wait a minute. Will you read Romans 12, verse 2? Let me find the scripture.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second.
All right.
Just a second here. All right. Romans 12 and 2. You ready for me, Deacon?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Al.
Okay. And it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah."
Hallelujah. And how are you going to do that? You got to know the word. Get this word in your heart. Get that in your mind. Let it be part of your being. You know, that's something, you know. The past all hearts on us about getting the word in us. And you see how, you know, people in the past had knowledge of the word. Now, somebody would say, well, Eliezer, we can make an excuse for him. Well, he's a priest. He's supposed to know the law. Well, and that's what I said. I mean, you can't name the Ten Commandments, but you can, off the top of your head, you can get, quote me, 10 beers.
Right.
You know? Right. I feel sometimes struggle myself, like, man, damn, Father. I said, well, damn, Pastor ain't telling the truth. How can that word, I mean, the things of the flesh, boy, we can hold it. I mean, things are so old songs. We can hold them old songs in the world from way back when. We know all them, all the jingles from the commercials we heard when we were children. But learn that word, you know, quote Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. You know, I don't know what to say. I got to read it. But you know, quote me up, tell me 5 beers, Heineken, Budweiser, Old Milwaukee, Ice House. I don't know if anybody remember that. Slim Smart Liquor, you know, Red Bull, whatever. You know what I'm saying, though? How the things of the flesh, we can maintain and retain that. But anything that pertains to the spiritual kingdom, you know, it leaves us very quickly.
Right. That's right. I mean, listen, you can make the argument all day you want that, you know, he was a priest and he was charged to know the law. But listen, that's no excuse. What King David told us, you know, about hiding the word in my heart, that I may not sin against Yah, you know. And see, we can't get away from it either about the Holy Spirit. I mean, listen, man, we could, everything that's going on, we can try to do with our own might, with our own power, all we want, all day long. But there's a limit to that. We have to have the Ruach. We have to have that the comforter. We have to have that to remind us, you know what I mean, to be there, to lead us, and to guide us into all truth. You understand what I'm saying? So especially in this day and hour, we need it. We need the comforter. We can't do it without him. Even in the time of trouble and things like this, when we're in these type of situations, who do you think going to be speaking on our behalf? Who do you think going to give us the words to speak? You know, you heard this man speak so eloquently and so boldly, but who's going to give us, where are we going to get that unction from? You understand? If you ain't got the Holy Spirit, what you going to rely on? You going to rely on some shit you hid in your heart, your natural, like Teacher Shane always said, your bag. Your little natural bag, that ain't. In times of that, you ain't going to have to reach for that. No, it's got to be within you. It's got to be within you, dwelling in you, and you got to have and know without a surety of a doubt. You know what I'm saying? So you ain't about to come against what we got coming against and about to face with your own, by your own power and by your own might. No, not at all, man. And it ain't going to be no soft and no sweet words and thinking you're going to get by. And that's another thing. I remember Jeff saying this. If there is a decree put out, and we all got to bow, and you sit there and you lay up there and try to pretend like you about to bow down and tie your damn shoe and act like your ass, oh, I'm, man, you going to, you hear me? We ain't about to be playing no kind of games, man. I'm sorry, man. We got to have that same boldness and that same fire, and that's a good thing that we're reading this and that we're going over this. You understand what I mean? Because we got to see and we got to know. Our minds, we have to be reminded of this kind of thing. But more importantly, we have to hide that where we got to be diligent in doing the work. I love what you hear, what you're saying. Oh, yes, if a man don't work, he don't eat. Man, listen to me, man. If we don't put that in, we don't put the time, if we don't get after it, it ain't going to just automatically appear there. No doubt the Holy Spirit is there to remind us, you know, and to bring us into remembrance of all truth. But we have to do the work as well. We got to have an eagerness, a longing for Yah, you know. And as the word even said, more than our own natural bread. You hear me? So if you don't have that type of relationship, if you feel like you've fallen short, I mean, here, you have breath in your body, the perfect opportunity for you to begin to pray, perfect opportunity to begin to cry out and to seek and to beg the Father. You know, I need your help, Father, in this area. You know, I need help. And I heard Pastor Daniel even saying it. You know, ask the Father for it. You know, you need to more discernment. You need to be able to hide that word in your heart for remembrance. All of these things. Go unto him and ask. Seek. And you will find. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Knocking to be open to you. Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, it is not short that he can't hear. His arm ain't,
right.
I mean, it is not, you know, his arm's not short that he can't save. It is not heavy that he can't hear. You know?
Yeah.
So we got no excuse to follow. He's not in haste.
That's right. Right. Hallelujah.
I mean, what's he say to elders? I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
So
the issue ain't the Most High. You know, it's us when we're slacking, not maintaining, you know, not maintaining our relationship with them to become a neglectful wives. You know,
that's
right. You know, your husband hungry, but you don't feel like you don't want to make dinner because you just don't feel like it. Because you had a bad hair day.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't treat the Most High like that. I'm sorry. You know, of course, you don't treat your husband like that either, sisters. You know, in the natural either. But hallelujah. Let me read this real quick, y'all. I want to, you know, verse 35. I think we'll start 34. I will not belie thee, O law, my instructor, or forsake thee, O beloved temperance. Of course, what temperance is, right? Self-control. And I will not put thee to shame, O reason, or deny thee, oh, honor priesthood and the science of the law or the Torah. You know what he's saying there with the philosopher, his reason there. He won't put his reason to shame. Why? Because he had temperance. His reason and temperance were able to help keep him from yielding to the fear of being, you know, being killed and all that, from forcing him to eat the flesh, eat the swine's flesh. No, I'm not gonna be weak like that. You know, can talk about manliness. He wasn't born a manliness either. That reason, the manliness, everything. Boom. But hey, look, all that bound together along with the temperance. No, I got control. I'm not gonna let all this, the things you're trying to put on me, trying to put me in fear. And through your, what they say, what the word, tyrannize. But I shall tyrannize. For over the ungodly, I shall tyrannize. but thou shalt not lord it over my thoughts about the faith, neither by thine arguments or through deeds. You know, he won't allow himself to be made weak. He's been forced to yield because of all the threats that the wicked Antiochus was trying to put towards him. But, you know, it's good. Why? Because he had faith in the Most High Yah. And he wanted to obey, keep his obedience to the word. But you know, also, too, let's go to chapter 6 of this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to chapter 6.
Okay. You need me to go ahead, pick up there, read there?
Yeah, if you want to read, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Okay. This is verse 6, chapter 6. It says, when Eleazar had in this manner answered the exhortations of the tyrant, the spear bearers came up and rudely hailed Eleazar to the instruments of torture. And first they stripped the old man, adorned as he was, with the comeliness of piety. Then, tying back his arms and hands, they disdainfully used him with stripes. A herald opposite crying out, "Obey the commands of the king." But Eleazar, the high-minded and truly noble, as one tortured in a dream, regarded it not all. But raising his eyes on high to heaven, the old man's flesh was stripped off by the scourges, and his blood streamed down, and his sides were pierced through. And falling upon the ground from his body, having no power to support the pain, he yet kept his reasoning upright and unbending.
Stop it, read that last part again.
Mm-hmm. And yet kept his reasoning upright and unbending.
Yeah, all that he suffered, he still wasn't bent in his mind. He wasn't giving up. He wasn't relenting. Keep going, El.
Right. That's right. All right. And it says, verse 9 here, it says, but he endured the pain and despised the cruelty and preserved through the indignities and persevered through the indignities. Verse 10 says, and like a noble athlete, the old man, when struck, relinquished his torturers, his countenance sweating and he panting for breath. He was admired by the very tortures for his courage.
Tortures for his courage. But go back here. In verse 10, like a noble athlete, the old man when struck vanquished his tortures. That means he killed somebody. He was over there doing it. He did something to somebody. He vanquished his tortures. You know, that means he's fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
I believe verse 11.
Uh-huh.
Again.
His countenance sweating and he panting for breath. He was admired by the very torturers for his courage. Wherefore, partly in pity for his old age, partly from the sympathy of acquaintance, and partly in admiration of his endurance, some of the attendants of the king said, "Why do you unreasonably destroy your soul, Eleazar, with these miseries? We will bring you some meat cooked by yourself. And do you save yourself by pretending that you have eaten swine's flesh?" And Eleazar, as though the advice more painfully tortured him, cried out,
"Wow. Oh, you hear that? Yeah. Oh, no, come on, man. You
got to
say something about that, El. Come on. Verse
16.
Say something about that. Come on, El.
Verse 16?
Yes, sir.
All right. You want me to go on, or what you saying?
I want you to say something about that one. Come on.
Oh, all right. In 15, Eleazar said, as though The advice more painfully tortured him. He cried. Hold on, where were we at first? They wanted to bring the man some meat. Where we at? 14. We will bring you some meat cooked by yourself. And do you save yourself by pretending that you have eaten swine? Nah, there you go. Nah. I mean, they're trying to do. And why in the hell are you trying to get the man? You know what I'm saying? They're trying to get him to break and fold it at every angle, man. Just go ahead. Pretend like you swine. Come on. Man, this man wasn't budging, Deacon, at all. He wasn't budging.
Well, look at verse 16, though. As though the advice more painfully tortured him, he cried out. Just that the suggestion of that made him cry out, though.
Cry out.
That, was,
mm-hmm.
that suggestion was torture in itself. Oh, hey, you know.
Can't do it.
That hurt for them to say that to him. Let's stop a minute. Now, you know, to those among us who don't have an affection for the law, for the ways of the Most High, now that ain't gonna cause you to cry out. That ain't gonna hurt you to hear that. the thought of you eating some swine flesh, well, hell yeah, I'm gonna do it because I don't want to die. You know, so you're finding something to agree with in you, that familiar spirit. So it don't hurt you. Hey, look, man. Well, what's the matter, you, bro? If you just eat the swine's flesh, you know. But no, okay. Because if you agree with it, it don't hurt you. You'll get your plate, fill your gut full of swine flesh, and die impure before the Most High, and not be received by your fathers either.
Right. Don't mean nothing to him. Hallelujah. I see. I'm gonna read here. In mine is verse 16. Here it says, "Let not us who are children of Abraham be so evil advised as by giving way to make use of an unbecoming pretense." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
"For it were irrational if, having lived up to old age in all truth and having scrumptiously guarded our character for it, we should now turn back and ourselves should become a pattern of impiety to the young as being an example of pollution eating. It would be disgraceful if we should live on some short time and that scorned by all men for cowardice and be condemned by the tyrant for unmanliness, by not contending to the death for our divine Torah." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Want me to keep going?
Yeah, keep going, El. There's a lot in this one. We got to go to verse 35. You got to read all this. I mean,
okay.
Go ahead, El. Like I say, man, this I'm telling y'all, This fourth Maccabees is rich. Come on, go ahead, Elvis.
It really, truly is, man. what you call? You called 30 what?
Chapter 6, dang it. Fourth Maccabees 6. Where you at? You were,
Stopped at 21, but I think you called something else.
No, I'm sorry, I keep going. I said, when I was saying this was rich, I said fourth Maccabees. Chapter 4. I called
it
wrong,
okay, chapter.
I got you. Yes, sir.
All right. Verse 21 says, "Wherefore do you, O children of Abraham, die nobly for your faith, you spear bearers of the tyrant? Why do you linger, beholding him so high-minded against misery and not changing their pity? They led him to the fire. Then with their wickedly contrived instruments, they burnt him on the fire and poured stinking fluids down into his nostrils. And he, being at length burned down to the bones and about to expire, raised his eyes, Elohim ward, and said, 'You know, O Elohim, that when I might have been saved, I am slain for the sake of the law by tortures. of fire. Be merciful to your people and be satisfied with the punishment of me on their account. Let my blood be a purification for them and take my life in recompense for theirs. Speaking, the righteous man departed noble in his torments, and even to the agonies of death resisted in his reasoning for the sake of the law. Confessedly, therefore, observant, reasoning is master of the passions, for he had the passions been superior to reasoning, I would have given them the witness of this mastery. But now, since reasoning conquered the passions, we fitly award it the authority of first place. And it is but fair that we should allow that the power belongs to reasoning. It masters external miseries. Wow. Ridiculous would it be were it not so. And I prove that that reasoning has not only mastered pains, but that it is also superior to pleasures and withstands them. Hallelujah.
Come on. So if your mind is made up and you're strong in your mind and spirit and you rely on the Most High, ain't nothing going you'll be able to, the term pastors use, you'll be able to embrace the suck, overcome the obstacles, the opposition, and carry on the mission of the Most High, no matter what happens to you. Why? Because, right. What was that first place scripture at? I lost. I put that.
First place, that was right there at verse 32.
Okay.
Well, for me, I think mine read a little different. But now, since reasoning conquers,
Go ahead.
But now, since reasoning conquers the passions. Hold on, my bad, Deacon. Let me start a little. Sorry about the echo. I mean, the delay. But now, since reasoning conquers the passions, we fittingly award it the authority of first place.
That's good. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And verse 9 in that chapter, man, I had to highlight that one. And it says, but he endured the pains and despised the cruelty, and preserved and persevered through the indignities. Man. That's something else, man. You see, that word stuck me, too. What'd you say?
I said, yes, it is. I'm agreeing with you,
Craig. Yeah, it is. I think that goes, also, that word despised, how he just continued to go on, he abhorred it, you know what I mean? Loathed it, hated it, detested it. The cruelty, but he still persevered through the indignities, right? So
yes,
I think what I had to the actual recording that I had, you know, Pastor even speaks about it on there and how the Messiah, he despised, you know, the shame. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and he went on to say, some of you men ain't even real men. You fold and you buckle under little small trials and tests. You know what I mean? So you ain't no real man. You know him saying on that. But let me know. I'm going to play that. That's just something that came to mind. I said I'd play it. But, you know, I guess right before it's over, whenever you say, I'll go ahead and play that little audio
clip.
You know what I mean?
How long was that clip, Elvin?
Let's see, it's a little lengthy, but it's...
keep in mind how much time we got left in the
big room. That's true. Yeah, it's like a 10-minute thing, but...
Okay. All right, okay. All right, I'll keep an eye on the clock, man. All right, let's go to chapter 15. I want to read the scripture. Let me find it real quick. Hold on. Wait a minute. Give me a second to get there. Find it. Let's keep this in mind, what we've been reading. All right, Brother Josh, we put in the chat of Galatians chapter 5. Hold on, I lost it. Let's start verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. But in light of Eleazar, that I want us to remember verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now that old man, see, like he had dominion over his vessel. He had the mastery, and he wasn't gonna let his flesh master him and cost him his soul. He wasn't gonna cater to the weakness of the flesh. In other words, to save his neck. But he loved the law of the Most High and let that love, let the Spirit of Yahweh was within him help keep him and maintain him. Because don't think that he just did that on his own. Because he didn't. It was with the help of Yah. Hallelujah. But which one did I say on chapter 15? Okay. Yeah, go to chapter 15, though. Start at verse 1. Let me see. I'll let you know when to stop. Let me.
Okay. Before Maccabees 15.
Yes, sir.
All right. It says, O reasoning of the Son, master over the passions, and the fate more desirable to a mother than Virginie, the mother, when two things were set before her, the faith and the safety of her seven sons for a time, on the conditional promise of a tyrant, rather elected the fate which, according to Elohim, preserves the eternal life. Oh, in what way can I describe ethically the affections of parents toward their children, the resemblance of soul and of form engrafted into the small type of a child in a wonderful manner, especially through the greater sympathy of mothers with the feelings of the feeling of those born of them. For by how much mothers are by nature weak in disposition and prolific in offspring, by so much the fonder they are of children. And of all mothers, the mother of the seven was the fondest of children, who is seven childbirths, had deeply engendered love toward them, and through her many pains undergone in connection with each one, was compelled to feel sympathy with them. Yet, through fear of Elohim, who neglected the temporary salvation of her children, not but that on account of the excellent disposition to the Torah, her maternal affection toward them was increased. For they were both just and temperate and manly and high-minded and fond of their brethren, and so fond of their mother that even unto death they obeyed her by observing the Torah.
Stop there,
and yet, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Faith, you're going to want to go on and read some more of that. But so I was come to chapter 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start at verse 1 there.
Okay. All right, 4 Maccabees 16. If then, even a woman, and that an aged one, and the mother of seven children, endured to see her children's torment, even unto death, confessedly
observant reasoning is master even of the passions. I have proved then that not only men have obtained the mastery of their passions, but also that a woman despised the greatest torments. And not so fierce were the lions round Daniel, nor the furnace of Mishael burning with most vehement fires, as that natural love of children burned within her, when she beheld her seven sons tortured. But with the reasoning of the faith, the mother quenched passions so great and powerful. For we must consider also this, that had the woman been faint-hearted as being their mother, she would have lamented over them, and perhaps might have spoken thus, "Oh, wretched I, and many times miserable, who having borne seven sons have become the mother of none. Oh, seven unless childbirths and seven profitless periods of labor and fruitless givings of suck, and miserable nursings at the breast, vainly for your sakes, O sons, have I endured many pangs and the more difficult anxieties of fearing. Alas, of my children, some of you unmarried and some who have married to no profit. I shall not see your children nor be felicitated as a grandmother. Felicitated as a grandmother. Ah, that I, who had many and fair children, to be a lone widow, full of sorrows, nor should I die. Shall I have a son to bury me? But with such a lament is this the holy and Elohim-fearing mother bewailed none of them. Nor did she divert any of them from death, nor grieve for them as for the dead, but as one possessed with an animate mind, and as one bringing forth again her full number of sons to immortality, he rather with supplication exhorted them to death in behalf of the faith.
Stop there, Elder.
Mm-hmm.
That woman had some kind of mind. You thought, hey, my mom could have convinced her sons, hey, look, don't do it. You know, I love you. You know what I mean? With a mother's heart, she could have turned them boys and had them leave off manliness. You know, come on to effeminacy and save your life. Don't die for Yah. Don't lay it down. Mm-hmm. Don't stand for the Torah for the Torah of Yah. Don't guard it. Let's eat swine's flesh to support this torture. You know, if she would have been a wicked mom, and I hope none of the mothers in Israel or fathers in Israel, when the time comes, that we I hope we have the same mindset this woman got. Exhort our children, hey, look, do this for Yah, suffer this for Yah. You know, because you gonna have eternal life waiting for you if they kill you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can say this real quick, Deacon, that, you know, it don't start at that moment when, you know, they facing death, you know what I mean? And the persecution and all those things. This is something that had to be imputed in them, I mean, from a young age, you know, this had to really be embedded in them and taught them. And they bred this is their life, you know what I mean? So, hallelujah. I just wanted to say that.
You totally right, y'all, because this is our culture. And if we don't get them embracing it and get it put the law in their heart, you know, getting them to seek Yah, for, you know, even to know for themselves, you know. So what's the prophecy? They should not say, know ye Yah. They should all, you know, because it says they should all know from the least to the greatest, you know. I think I'm butchering that scripture. I can't quote it off my head, top of head at the moment. But, so, the children got, we got to get them, you know, teaching them the word and making sure they cultivate the relationship with the Most High Yah for themselves as well, too. You know, children, make sure they're seeking after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, getting the deliverance that they need, because that's also the mothers and fathers being an example in that as well, too. You know, So there's a lot that can be that needs to be done as far as in all our educating of the children, and not just saying, well, hey, you know, you Hebrew, but don't teach them nothing. Or don't, you know, they don't know how to serve Yah, because, you know, to tell the truth, children don't serve Yah because mom and dad don't serve. You know, they don't serve them in the home. They don't see no example in the home, so how they gonna live anything?
Right.
Now, if they do,
that's right.
one thing after they have seen an example in the home and they go their own way and do their own thing. That's different. You know, that's on them when they get their own mind. But at least while they're young, we're training them up in the way they should go, so that when they're old, they don't depart from it. But if they choose to, that's on them. You know what I mean? Once they're old enough, you know, they get their own mind, you know, but they, hey, look, okay, you can go serve state, but you can't do it here. Bye. Hallelujah.
That's right. You know, another thing I think, Deacon, real quick, I say this, and I know you got to move on, but I think it's interesting about this woman. It says a lot about her character, and also her love, dedication to the Father. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't speak about the man too much for whatever happened or whatever the situation is. But she had to have some level of relationship, some level, you know what I mean, of love toward the Father, that she even able to bring him up in that way, or even to carry him that far. You know what I'm saying? So no excuses.
Yeah.
I don't care. You say you're a single mom in Israel. You say you don't have help. You don't have support. But look at what she did. You know what I mean? And so, hallelujah, it can be done. So I just want to find a little.
That's good. I'm glad you said that. Or the dad could have got killed. They don't tell at what point. But either way, the man wasn't there. And Mama was the one instructing them. And thank God they had the righteousness to listen to their righteous mom. You know?
Sure.
in that regard. Hold on, let me see. Go to chapter 18. I said, read from verses 1 through 4.
Okay, here we are. All right, 4 Maccabees 18. And it says, O Yisrael, children, descendants of the seed of Abraham, obey this Torah, and in every way be observant, knowing that observant reasoning is master of the passions, and those not only inward but outward. When those persons giving up their bodies, pains for the sake of the faith were not only admired by men, but were deemed worthy of a divine portion. And the nation through them obtained peace, and having renewed the observance of the Torah in their country, drove the enemy out of the land. And the tyrant Antiochus was both punished upon the earth and is punished now that he is dead. For when he was quite unable to compel Israel to adopt foreign customs and to desert the manner of life of their fathers, then, departing from Jerusalem, he made war against the Persians. And the righteous mother of the seven children spoke also as follows to her offspring, I was a pure virgin, and went not beyond my father's house, but I took care of the built-up rib. No destroyer of the desert or ravisher of the plains injured me, nor did the destructive, deceitful snake make spoil of my chaste virginity. And I remained with my man during the period of my prime, and these my children have arrived at maturity. Their father died. Blessed was he. For having sought out a life of fertility in children, he was not grieved with a period of loss of children. And he used to teach you, when yet with you, the Torah and the prophets, the law and the prophets. He used to read to you the slain of Hazel by Qualim, and the offering up of Yitzhak, and the imprisonment of yourself. And he used to tell you of a zealous technique, these words, some of these words, man, and informed
yes,
you.
Sir.
Yeah. Of the Mishael in the fire, and used to the glory of Daniel, who was in the den of lions, and pronounced him blessed. And he used to put you in mind of the scripture of Isaiah, which says, even if you pass through the fire, it shall not burn you. He chanted to you David, the hymn writer, who says, many are the afflictions of the just. He declared the Proverbs, who says he is a tree of life to all those who do to do his will. He used to verify, Ezekiel, who said, so these dry bones live. Well, he did not forget the song which Moshe taught, proclaiming, I will kill and I will make to live. This is our life and the length of our days. Oh, that bitter and yet not bitter day when the bitter talent of, what we got? Of the quenching fire with fire in his cruel peldrons brought with boiling rage the seven sons of the daughter of Abraham to the catapult and to all his torments. He pierced the balls of their eyes and cut out their tongues and put them to death with varied tortures. Wherefore divine retribution pursued and will pursue the pestilent wrench. But the children of Abraham with their victorious mother are assembled together, the choir of their fathers, having received pure and immortal souls from Elohim, to whom be glory forever and ever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm glad we see that the Father was there. He died after his sister got home.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
He did teach him. You see that, though.
He did teach.
He kept him in remembrance of the word, yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, y'all, you want to play that clip before we run out of time?
Yeah, I see that. We there. Hallelujah. But just like you, Deacon, a lot of this was all new to me because I had never dove into these parts of Maccabees, you know what I mean? So, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
But it's good. Hey, what'd you say?
I was going to play that clip if you want to, El. I was just saying hallelujah to what you said, too. Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
We got a time coming up on us. But first, we got to go through much tribulation. We don't want to go ahead and rush the glory and not thinking that you ain't got to go through something. You have got to go through much tribulation in order to enter into the kingdom of Yah. Are y'all hearing me? Now, how do you know when you're ready and prepared for tribulation? When you can pass the simple little trial and the simple little test in life, you're preparing yourself for tribulation. Because to prepare yourself for tribulation is to prepare yourself for temptation. See, there's a lot of things we're tempted in, and on a daily basis, and many times we fail. But this is all about maturing and building character, being able to have spiritual discernment. Knowing when it says, when I'm weak, then I'll be made strong. It's not talking about the weakness of your physical body or flesh. It's talking about the weakness of your spirit, the weakness of your character. Then you'll be made strong. And the one thing we're lacking all across the earth, us as a people, is spiritual maturity. We're lacking spiritual maturity. Because spiritual maturity also comes with self-control, which is one of the fruits of the spirit. Because the devil, how many times y'all heard me talk in the last week or two, be it videos or in preaching or teaching, I keep talking about feelings that brings about a response because of an impulse. Y'all getting this? You get angry about something, you automatically, I hadn't even checked the anger, but you just do it. There's a feeling that comes with it, demonic, because now you're no longer in control. Uh-oh. And then you respond after you yield to the devil. When you try to give no place to the devil. You get it? And it's showing your lack of maturity in that area. That's a temptation, and you just failed that test and trial, and you will revisit it again. Because in order for you to be perfect, you got to continue to keep revisiting these things that you have yet to overcome. Because when I heard and I read in the book of Revelation, Johanna saw the multitude of the overcomers, not the people who succumbed. And the people who kept bowing down and bending down the flesh because they feel. Are y'all hearing me at all? So easily manipulated and controlled. He saw the multitude of the overcomers, and they were worshiping Yahweh. Some of them were singing. Some of them were dancing. But they all were worshiping Yahweh. So you have to be careful what steals your joy. It takes you from the overcomer status. What takes your peace? Because you got to fight for peace. It takes you from the overcomer status. And don't ever play victim when you're the problem. You are the problem yourself. You know you're the problem when you keep revisiting the same thing over and over and over and over again. That's why over and over and over again we hear these nice things. Some men's sins go before them to judgment, and some men's sins come after. You want things going before. You want nothing coming after. You know, if there was a such thing as your life being played out, you want that film to be less than 2 seconds long. You know what I mean? In eternity time. Time you receive the Holy Spirit, now if that thing, what else happened? Well, a bunch of good words, but there's nothing up here. But you said been thinking, wait a minute, I can't even remember that. What did I do? But see, on this earth, you got to remember all the foolishness you be doing and messing up and stuff. Wouldn't it be nice? It's hard for us to believe that the Father can actually forget. You know why? Because you don't. Some of you can't live without misery. You can't live without pain. You have to have some type of emotional disturbance just in order to feel like you're alive. If you ain't sad, you ain't glad. I'm serious. I watch folk, man, and I marvel, man. They ain't going to get it. They'll get it one day. It's going to get them. Don't y'all love peace? Then why are you always at war? See, again, ending is on the heart. On the heart. On the heart. Y'all, hallelujah. To be strong in the Messiah and in the power of his might is to be strong spiritually. Hallelujah. You know what that is?
Hallelujah. Hey, Digger, I'm going to stop it there. We got just a couple more minutes if you wanted to say, you know, close it on out.
Close it on. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for playing that. That was very timely, too. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, Elder. Well, I do appreciate you being coming on tonight, Elder. Your time, especially reading all the scriptures you read. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Save me from having to read them all. But no, I do thank you, Elder. You got any closing words you want to get to the saints before I let you go, sir?
I'm just, like I said, it's my pleasure, and I'm happy and honored to be able to serve. And just bless all of Israel, man, and realize the time that we're coming upon. Very serious, and we all need to take heed to it and really, you know, seek the Father with our whole heart. And hallelujah. But bless you, Deacon. Thank you again, and bless all of Israel. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I will bless you, Elder. Shalom, shalom, sir.
Long, long.
Take it off. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, Saints, I'm going to play a song here for us to close us out. Do appreciate you all being with us tonight. Do love you dearly. I pray you all have a blessed week. Continue to keep up the warfare prayers, especially against our enemies, those who've been cursing us. The time is coming up on that to to prove that prophecy false, that judgment false. But anyway, I do love you all. Bless you and shalom.
Because there's nothing new up under the sun, unless you under the sun.
What?
Resurrection, made a new creature. Trials and tribulations come with being hated for Jesus.
Yeah.
Go and give me that guillotine. I ain't doing swine eating. I'm ready to fill it.
What?
So they're heating up the skillet, but I'm prepared to go to war with my Maccabean spirit. This wickedness evolved. I'm willing to lose my life for the creator of all. I know that's what I'm gonna do, but imagine all of this happening right in front of you and you next on the chopping block. What's it gonna be?
What?
I know that fear's all around you. Just don't let it drown you, huh? They told me step forth and these the words that I speak. I'd rather die for that faith that lies inside. Martial law up in the streets, boy. Police on every corner, what's the need to creep for? Instead of being awake, these people sleeping more. Civil unrest is turning into street wars. Nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. But be at peace, Israel,
peace.
We're at the brink of our freedom.
Boom.
These walking zombies ain't nothing but holes for these demons.
Yeah.
So I cast them out. If they keep coming, I blast them out. Catching every bit of my 45. TV, radio telling more lies. Why? To leave your minds demoralized. Why? Just to do they bidders whenever. The beast and the whore, they in bed together. And if you drinking number one, watch her spread her feathers.
Yeah.
And land her eagle on the minds of the people.
And
that's bash. Wait till that last quarter.
Wait.
Until that new world order. Now when that drum starts to beat, that harp starts to sound,
boom.
And Pharaoh commanding every knee to bow down.
Yeah.
Everybody's bowing down.
Yeah.
Only few are standing up.
What?
And everybody's looking round. They
looking like
what the
fuck? Hold up.
So you mean to tell me I gotta bow myself to something that can't speak, can't see, can't hear, can't do nothing? Yo, take me up to your king. I tell him kiss my ass to his face. How about that? How about that? You take me right now. Man, and now I'm starting to see that fire glow. I say it ain't hot enough, heat it up a little bit more. Proper speech, they took it as, so they tied me up with rope. Open up the furnace door, threw me on the furnace floor. Body burning next to me, the rebels are consumed. And then I feel a sense of peace entering the room. I do not fear doom, no.
What?
I begin to stand, and as the shadow becomes the image, it's the Son of Man.
He says,
my firstborn, your faith has been measured.
Man.
Now take a stand, just see the fire is gonna respect you.
Yeah.
The God's about to come in, looking and inspect you.
Yeah.
And when they call you forth, you tell them about the one who sent you,
young
Hebrew boy. Step from out the furnace and tell us all about this Yahweh that you claimed you learned of.
Sure.
In the last days,
man.
I hope you're able to stand.
Man.
So repent, for the kingdom's at hand.
Man.
In the last days,
man.
I hope you're able to stand.
Man.
So repent while you can.
Yeah.
Israel. Salute. Shalom.
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.